Good morning, everyone. We thank you for the opportunity you gave us to share about the work in Quebec, where we work back east. This morning, we want to share about the work where it is now since the last time we came 5 years ago, and show you. I've got a PowerPoint. Hopefully, we'll be able to see some picture. And share some prayer requests. It's nice to be with you this morning. It's nice to see people, faces that we've known before. You know, that's for me, it's one of the most encouragement is to see people that are there year after year. You go there and you see them. What an encouragement to know that we can live for Christ all the way. Because there's many people, you know, they're there and they disappear. But what a privilege. We warm my heart to see people, brothers and sisters that were there and that has been there for years. Praise the Lord. As our brother Frank was sharing to me, he was the one who asked me to share on this subject of transfiguration this morning. And I was very glad because this is a very precious and nice, a beautiful text, a nice experience for the apostles to go through. And I would like just to share a few thoughts on this. Actually, two thoughts. One is Christ is God's glory revealed through incarnation. And Christ is God's glory revealed through revelation. That is the written revelation, the Bible. That's my 2 points I want to make with you this morning. But before we do that, we better go to the text, right? We have to go back to the Bible all the time. So I share on this subject before we share on the about the work. So we're going to read the scripture, which is the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. And I like us to start verse 27. And the subject on the bulletin is, "Watch the Lord's transfiguration as this reveal his future glory." Amen. That's what we're going to see in that text. You know, Donald, being from here, many knows my wife for a long time, and we appreciate through the years your faithful prayer for us through the years. We just want to take the occasion to thank you very much for your prayer. So we read the scripture now, Luke 9, verse 27, "I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto the mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed. And his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appear in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companion were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid. As they entered the cloud, a voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they had seen. God bless his word. What a unique experience for Peter, James, and John, who in this audience would have liked to be there? All of us, we would have liked to be in that mountain to see the Lord Jesus transfigure, transform. And it's understandable. We'd like to see him. You know, people, generally speaking, like spiritual experience, like visions. You know, we heard many things, and many people are after all spiritual experiences. And this, of course, this was the best one, but I'm talking generally speaking, people look for that. And there's, if you want experience and spiritual visions and all this, the enemy of our soul can give you many. So we have to be careful. You know the test about those spiritual experience and visions, because we heard of some, you know, and things that God said and to such revelation. I think we better do like John in the Revelation. You know, when he heard the voice, what he did? He turned around and looked. What did he see? The Lord Jesus in the middle of the church. When it's a revelation that comes from the Lord, it always bring your eyes on the Lord Jesus and on his body. That's, you know, it comes from him. But it would have tendency to bring you out from this, from the Lord himself. We have to be careful. But here, of course, this is the vision. This is the experience we would all have liked to be part of. Christ is God's glory revealed through incarnation. God is light. God is glory is great. And when he came here, all this glory was wrapped in a body, a human form. So people could not see it. It was veiled. But do we realize? And I think Peter, John, and James did not realize who he really was. But at that point, as the Lord has said to them, some will not die until they see this glory. I think that it was for them to see him manifested. The Lord Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the King of glory. But when he came in humiliation, in a body of flesh like you and I, for a purpose. I heard once a story about a little girl that was visiting a big cathedral with those big stained glass windows. They were all the apostles were portrayed on those glass windows, and it was a nice sunny day. They was visiting with a school group like this, and the teacher at one point he asked the group there, he says, "Who can give me a definition of a saint?" And there was a little girl there, and she was looking at this, and she was looking at those, the light. And she lifted up her hand, she says, "I know, a saint is someone pierced by the light." The Lord Jesus, he is the Holy One. But you see, the light was in him, all contained. Nobody could see until that time. Isn't it that this is a nice also definition of us? All who are saved, all who are inhabited by the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, are children of light, and we should, and people should see some light out of us. And as we grow, people should see a little of the Lord Jesus, isn't it? But because the light is in us, that as we grow and the Lord grows in us, this light should be seen. But coming back to him, I like to quote a few passages from the Bible about God, about him. The Lord Jesus, as you know, he said, "I am the light of the world," John 8:12. James speak about the Father of light, with whom there is no variation of shadow due to change. I'm quoting from a ESV translation. My wife gave me that. I'm reading through this English translation this year. I like to change every year of translation of Bible. Sometimes I take an English one, sometimes I take a French one, and now I'm going through this ESV. I had it with me, so I have my quotation through that Bible. The fact, Hebrew 1 verse 3 says, He is the radiance of the glory of God. Talking about the Lord Jesus. Remember when Paul was have this encounter with the Lord in Damascus Road? The Lord appeared to him, and it says, a light from heaven brighter than the sun. We think about the Shekinah that was over the tabernacle of the Old Testament. It was a light during the day, during the night. That light that separated the nation of Israel when they left Egypt. It was a light that lighted the darkness on one side. God is light. And as Paul is going to put in 1 Timothy 6, verse 15 and 16, the only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. But you see, Christ is the fullness of God in a human body, as it says in Colossians. All the brightness, the glory of God was contained in him in a human body. And at that occasion we have here in the text of trance on the mount there, Peter, James, and John, they were there and they saw, what did they saw? What did happen, of course? What happened at that moment is that God... fullness in him at that moment show this light pierced his body. It went through his bone, his flesh and sinews, and it just went out of him. That's what we have in the mount there. And the apostles, they were just worshiping him there. They just realized who he was. But that was God's will for them to understand. That was God's will for them to see him. They needed that. I don't know if any one of you have ever seen the movie. It's called "À la recherche de l'arche perdue." That's in French. In English, it says it's the Ark of the Covenant, Lost Ark of the Covenant. It's an old movie, but I remember that movie because at the end, when they find the Ark, they kind of opened the ark, and what happened? Light came out from the ark. Well, that's a movie. We know that was not the case with the real. We know what was in the ark. There was the manna, was the table of the law, and the staff of Aaron that was in the ark. But nevertheless, as we know, the Ark of the Covenant is a type of the Lord Jesus, and what we have on that moment there on the mountain, it was just God's glory. We will see him in heaven. He's going to be in glory like this, but just shown to the disciple. That was great. We all would have liked to be there. And that brings our mind not on Moses, not on Elijah the prophet, but on the one we need to have our eyes on, the Lord Jesus. But you know what Peter said? I like us to read the verse. Actually, there was a verse you have to learn by heart. I just want to say that about this... Christ is God's glory revealed through his incarnation. It was hidden, hidden in this body. But at that moment, they saw his glory. Let's turn to Peter, the text. You know, Peter revealed this and talked about what happened. And I want to touch now this Christ is God's glory revealed through revelation, the word of God. We turn to 1 Peter. Second Peter. 1:15, thank you. Peter 2:16, we read, "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitness of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him am I am well pleased.' We ourselves," said Peter, "heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain." So Peter here is telling the story when he was on the mount. Christ is back in heaven. Now he has the freedom to share this with him. And that was something. He remembered. They were there. They have seen it. But I like how it says after. Listen. He says, "And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart." And I will stop there. I think the verse you have to learn, it's this one. Yeah, 2 Peter 1:19. "As we have the word of the prophet made more certain." What is more certain than the vision and the privilege to be on a mountain with the Lord? Brothers and sisters, it is the written word of God. This is the prophetic word. You know what? Through that word, we can see Christ in his glory. Christ is God's glory revealed now for us. We don't have all this privilege. We live way after. And we want the vision. We want to experience the vision of the Lord. There it is. We can see him through the book. Through the book. Remember what Hebrews 11:1 says? What faith is? Faith is the assurance of the thing hoped for and the demonstration. I'm just translating from the French to English now. Demonstration of the thing we don't see. But how can we have insurance? By the testament of God. This is a testament. This is a legal text. We have insurance. Always go back to the book there. You read it. That's where you have insurance. How can you see invisible things? It's by contemplate Christ. This is back in his glory through his word. We can see him. And this is our privilege. This is our privilege. Remember what the Lord Jesus said at the end of the Gospel of John? He says, "Happy are those who believe without seeing." What does he mean? You know, people make all sorts of things out of that text. You know, you have to believe in any things and without seeing. No. The context here, happy are those who believe the scripture concerning him. Even they don't see him. We can see him through God's word. So we are privileged. We are privileged to have this book with us. This is the most precious book we have. So I just want to encourage you. Yes, visions and experience, spiritual experience is great. But to spend time in a holy mountain, I mean, aside when we're all along with the Lord, meditating on God's word, we can see him. What is eternal life? The Lord Jesus says, he says, it's to know him and the Father. That's a personal relation. What a privilege. What a privilege. And you know what? The Lord, I quote the verse before this transfiguration. It says, there's some of those who are here who will not die before they have seen God's glory. There's a spiritual application to that. The Lord knows our feebleness. He knows we need to grow in our knowledge of him, to be able to die to ourselves, to many things in our life, so we can have the privilege of seeing him. And Peter and John the apostle, they saw him in his glory. This vision of him enabled us to renounce, as it says in the passage there, to renounce our own life, to our own self, so we can follow him. So what's the secret for being able to renounce ourself and our life? Is to see him. And we have this marvelous privilege as you read God's word. And I just want to say something. Everybody are veiled because of sin nature. And the apostle says, and all nations are like this, spiritual veil. And this veil only falls when you are converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. When you realize that he is the Savior, you are the sinner in need of him, and you trust him as your personal Savior. Only when you realize that you are a lost sinner and you trust him as your Savior, this veil falls off and you can see him and be transformed day by day, glory after glory, as you contemplate him through Scripture. Christ is God's glory revealed through Scripture. And this is our privilege. This is your privilege if you know the Lord, and I know many of you have been enjoying this great privilege for years. I would just want to encourage the young believers, spend time. You know, it's going to cost you something to spend time in that book. But see him. Learn to see him. It will help you to renounce too many things to spend time with him. Like a man or a young man in love with a young lady he like. You know, he renounced many things he doesn't do anymore. He just wants to be with her. That's what's work here. When you see him, well, that's going to help you to renounce the other things and to spend time with him. That is just a few thoughts that I want to share with you this morning. And the time is going ahead, so I'm just want to share now a bit about the work we are doing in Quebec. I don't know the PowerPoint. Oh, it looks fine there. We're not going to start with this. I just want to tell you about the work, like many knows, but there's new people here. We start the work at L'Abbé, the assembly there, in 1999. So it's been 12 years now. We started with 11 adults in the fellowship. Last year we came here, 5 years ago, we were about 15 or 16 in fellowship. Now we went up to 24 in fellowship. And some are moved because of study or work. So we are 20 about in fellowship in the assembly. And I want to tell you that those are most new believers that came to know the Lord. And on Sunday morning, like, we have about 6 to 12 people that are there regularly that we follow. So on the Sunday morning, we're about 25 to 30 people on Sunday morning. My wife and our girls take care of the Sunday school, and there's young people there, and we have a few brothers that can share in this. Our oldest boy, Benjamin, is 22, and he works also with the young people at Jean-Pierre Assembly. We are in fellowship with the assembly there, and lots of young people. And so he works with them, and our young people goes there too. So all the family is working together. We experience that what is most important is to be working with people. And most of our work is to follow up the visitors, or the people that are just newly saved, all people that are there that have difficulties, they need more pastoral work. But most of our work is done not from the platform, but from a one-on-one work. We follow each one, my wife with the ladies, I'm with the men, and we follow them through basic course. One is the gospel. It's called Good News. It's from William MacDonald. And it's been printed. It's an excellent one, but it just showed the gospel, how to be born again. It just go through the truth of the gospel, the propitiation and all this. And after that, when this is done, we go on with the, but it's only done one and one, weeks after weeks in personal meetings, because this gives us the opportunity to have a close fellowship with trust. We can pray for each other, and they can also ask your question and their doubts and their wrong understanding. So we open the Bible and we go there. That's what we need. We need to go in the Bible to answer all the questions. And after we finish this gospel course, we go on with the a Bible course with the basic truths of the Christian life. And there's only one that I follow on. This is done, one on the principle of the church gathering, which is important. We are very convinced that if you want to work, a work that will last all eternity, work with church body. The church, the local church, where Christ is the head, and build up and share the gospel and new disciples and help them to grow. That's what we've been experiencing at L'Abbaye. It's been grown slow but steady. And we're encouraging that. as most of you know, we have a Bible bookstore in L'Abbaye, which gives us an open place which the gospel is shared. Every people that search or people want to have Bibles or good Christian book, they can come there. It's also accommodate Christian around our area. And sometimes we have our course, men's course there, men's meeting there. When we plan the months, we are there at the bookstore. And sometimes we do that at the bookstore, the one-to-one course. But sometimes we go to Chicoutimi. Sometimes we go often to restaurant. N'est-ce pas, Luc? Luc knew about that. And sometimes we meet them in home. And Chicoutimi is about 20 kilometers away from L'Abbaye, so we're quite in a move. Every week we meet people, but most of the time, one and one. We have our share, like when is the we have our Bible study in-house, where we have we study books of the Bible. And Sunday, of course, it's an open meeting. But we follow each one by one. We just want to mention, you'll see it, we have many different nationalities that comes in the gathering. You know, God is, He knows our heart, isn't it? He says, fais de l'éternel tes délices et il te donnera ce que ton cœur désire. Who can translate that? You love the Lord with all your heart and make Him the center of your mind, and He will give you your heart's desire. My wife went to Africa. She left some of her heart over there. She loved Africa. But you know what the Lord does? He brings lots of people from Africa, from the French country, over to our place through the university. And we have many contacts. In the assembly, we have people from Gabon, Togo, Cameroon, Senegal. Many comes from university. And you know, we had a guy from, what's his place again? Cambodia. Serai is one was the in charge of university. Anyway, that was a student council, and he was in charge of that. So through him was many people that came to know the Lord through the years. So it's very internationality in our assembly, and as you will see. I just want to mention again that we don't have a building, we rent a gymnasium and two classrooms. It's an old school that is now used as a community heart center. And we have a meeting on Sunday morning. We also have every Sunday night a meeting where we share the gospel. Sometimes we have movies to share. Sometimes we have open tables so people can ask their question. Different means. So souls that church can be reached. And we are after that. I said that we are, during the weeks, we are meeting at home. okay, I think we just about, let's give you about the report where we're at. I just want to go to the PowerPoint now. Take my pointer. Okay. That's the fjord. You know, we saw the river. It's a fjord. We have boats. There's 29 boats, cruise boats from people, tourists boats that comes and they, in the spring, in the fall, it's very nice with all the leaves. They come to La Baie. Okay, and that's let me see this. That's where we at La Baie. There, you see Montreal is there, Quebec, and just up north over here. That's where we work. This big country that we have. It's a big country. That means when we travel all the way here with the van, stretch after stretch, but we make it. Okay. See, that's give you an idea. La Baie is got Saguenay City. There's three district, Jonquière, Chicoutimi-La Baie. That's where we live. This was an assembly at Jonquière first for many years ago. That's where Brother Cox worked, Donald Cox. Maybe you know him. That's where he works. And Chicoutimi, there's an evangelical church there. We've been commanded first time there in Chicoutimi. We went work in Jonquière, and now we're at La Baie. So that's give you the total population. And of course, we speak Français, French. Okay. There, as you see, there is a university there, lots of people. La Baie, the district, that's the population. It's a seaport. And because it's an aluminum factory there, there's lots of them. So all the basic stuff came from South Africa, America, and Africa too, comes there. And there's, I don't know how many, a factory of aluminum, but there's many of them. So this is a seaport. In the winter, of course, the bay is frozen. So there needs a ice boat to go through the bay and open the channel for the boat come in through years, year round. And when it's winter, there's a village fishing cabins on the bay. You can drive with your car on the bay, no problem. And the ice is thick. And like I said, there was cruise boat every fall. There's many crews. And Donna works with those cruise boats. You know, she guides them. And she, for 2 or 3 years now, she's been doing that. That's give her occasion to speak English. This is a view from the bay. That's been taken just about 2 weeks before we left. There was a marathon there, a bike marathon. They start from La Baie and they went all the way to Montreal on bike to have money for a certain sickness I forgot about, because the guy who started that, he has two children, he lost two children, so he's now sponsoring and making all sorts of events. But that, just to give you a view, that's the quay, that's the place where the big boats comes and people can go and ride. And okay, there's the cruise boats, and you can, last year Donna went on a plane like this because she with the city was allowed to do that. She liked that. So okay, and another view. So where we live, we have this view from La Baie, just a little aside. Okay, and that's give you, they have snowboards with those big kites there in the winter. They had a competition this year there, and the cabin is just this way by my way here. That's, and they do snow kite there. Okay, so that's give you an idea now. Just weeks before we left the assembly, Chrétien de La Baie. This is the Atelier des Arts. That's where we meet. The gymnasium just down there, and finally, that's Miriam. Do you recognize any? You know this one? That's Valerie, our oldest. Laura. And where's my wife? Okay. And this guy is a Cambodian. He's from Gabon. She's from Rwanda, and her children, no, she doesn't have any children here. We'll see them. And other brothers from the assembly. Many, well, a few were missing in that picture, but. Okay. That was one an evening in our study. You see, he's from Madagascar, this guy. Came to know the Lord at La Baie. She's from Benin. She's back now, and we've prayed for her for years. She couldn't have no baby. Now she's pregnant, and she's waiting for a baby. She's so happy about that. And we have news. She hopefully is going to come back. Okay. That was Paterne, and we had lunch that dinner. He came to know the Lord from Serai, and is now in fellowship with the assembly at Alma. And his wife is there. His wife is not converted yet, but he's going for the Lord. We're very happy about that. Okay. Oh, that was bowling at Labbé time we have. This couple here, that's they're Russian. Sergei Dimov and Tatiana Dimova. Two girls. Where's the oldest? Julia's not in there. Oh yeah, she's there. Julia, that's the girl that she came all the, she traveled with us all the way to Winnipeg. She went in a Christian camp to work, so to learn English. So as we're going to come back, we're going to pick her up there. And she, this family, he came to the Lord just the beginning of the year. For a year, I was asking him, would you like to have us have a time sharing the gospel? Because his French is just like this. And he speaks Russian. And but, you know, it's okay. So finally, we follow him. And, you know, little by little, waiting, be patient, week after week. You know, he came to have an understanding of the gospel, and he prayed to accept the Lord in Russian. So I didn't know what it goes in Russian because that. So I, tell me, how does Jesus sound like in Russian? So I know he trusted to accept the Lord Jesus. So he told me, so I heard that he said the Lord Jesus, so I trust the Lord. And he's going for the Lord. His wife is a Christian already, and his two daughters, they've just been received by the way, Canadian citizen. And that's from brother Benjamin. Is that Benjamin? I think it's Benjamin behind there. And those are two young. This couple here, they are new. He's from Maroc, and she's a Quebecois. We follow them. Anyway, that was a bowling time we have. Okay. That's a Bible study in our homes where we sing, and we're studying the parables right now. Okay. That was their first baptism at Labbé that we have. Three of them. This is from Gabon. And this is Sébastien and Daniel Tremblay. They were baptized. We are here. There's an island at Labbé there. We can walk to the island when the water is down because we have tides. So when the water is down, we can walk to the island. We plan to baptize them not too far from the island. Then think about the tide. Sometimes it's different. And that day it was way different. So the tide was way low. We cannot baptize them close to the island. We have to walk a long way and to baptize them. That was a special. All the a big gathering there. The Christian from Jonquière came. Was a great encouragement. So our first baptism. There it is. So we can see the bay. That's a ski slope over here. And in the winter. It's only be that's over a dinner. That's looks like this most every dinner, Sunday dinner. Our son Benjamin is a he's got a funny face there. Okay, and that's with some time with Sunday afternoon when it's nice. We like to go for a walk with the young people. He's you know what his name is? His name is Buddha. That's his name, Buddha. He came from Gabon. His father was searching when he was born. He was into Buddhism. So when his son was born, so I'm going to call him Buddha. Well, that's how he got his name. And he came here, and he was saved a couple of years ago. And he's a doctorate on wood. Anyway, he's specialized in this. Forestry. Anyway, now he's working way up north. So anyway, we can go on. And this was during the winter. Maple syrup activities at Camp Rocher. This is the building where the Camp Rocher is. It's a Christian camp. Big, it's big. They have big buildings. And also, he's from Algeria. He's from Cambodia. She's from Russia. She's from Benin. And I don't remember where he. Yeah. And you know this one where she's from. Okay. And this is the. Rwanda's family. They come to the meeting. He confessed to know the Lord. That's Alex. That's Felix, Marie-Françoise, and Jaco. He's a little boy. He likes to joke all the time. Anyway, we follow them up. This is the bookstore we were talking about. It's right on the main road. The main road goes here. And people, as they drive, they can read the sign. I changed the sign many times. And we're going to walk in now, the bookstore, okay? Change. As we walk in the bookstore, I've got tables and my books are on the table, Bibles and every subject. I study there and we have Bible study over here. that's the cashier's ear. Okay? Can change. And that's why I sit over here. That's I can see outside. You can see the bay there. It's so too much light, but that's where I put 30 hours every week there at the bookstore. And every week there's people that stop by, a few, not many, but we are after those people who search. And we want to be faithful to them. Okay? There you go. You know that guy. And we use also the mean. This is the, you know, the, anyway, you use that to share the gospel. I have lots of, you know, Fireproof, this is a good movie, this, and we have means to share the gospel with the, at the bookstore, people can buy, okay? And there we are. So that's give you an idea, visual idea of our work over there. And that's bring you to where we at. And well, you see Benjamin here, like I say, is he just finished 2 weeks of camp with the native way up north in Shibugamo, up north of Shibugamo. And he had 2 weeks. That was a special experience for him. They had to plan everything, and with three people from the Bible school, he was the only one that did not come from Bible school, but he was the oldest, and he had to organize everything. Good experience. He's going today with the Camp Rocher, which is a Christian camp, to work for the rest of the summer until he goes to university this fall in Montreal. I didn't talk too much about, I have this on paper, but he's going to university on the fall. She's in second year. This is Valerie. She's in second year this year at the University of Laval in Quebec. She's into designing, graphic designing. And she studied at the Cégep à Jonquière in nursing, Laura. And we have our baby with us this morning because she's going at Bethel Bible Camp to help this week. But she was last week there, and she's with us. And so that's her family, and that's the work we do over there. And we just thank you for the privilege, you know, to serve the Lord. It's an immense privilege. But we all serve the Lord. We are co-worker. We work together. In heaven, we're going to rejoice with those precious souls that you and I are. You know, remember, not too long ago, we were not there. We were lost in our sin. We didn't know everything. But people were praying for us. That's why we're there. That's why we need to be together. It's a work together. And the vision of the Lord Jesus in glory sustain us, encourage us to go ahead and to renounce many things for him. So may the Lord bless this work. We'll work, finish, you want me to finish in prayer? And if you have any question, come to me. I got picture here of us, if you want some. Okay, with our name, so you can remember. Put this on your fridge, or you have us there. And like Brother Frank was saying, we have our prayer request printed for you. So we'll just finish now and bow down in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for God's family, which is huge. All over the world, you work. And there's newborn spiritual baby every day since Pentecost. Praise you and thank you for your power working in this world that attracts souls and save them and make them disciple. We thank you for the road, for the so far we've walked, and we look to you. Thank you for the privilege of sharing together what happened in different place. Thank you for this time this morning. You are worthy of all our praise. You give your life for us. You are Lord and Savior. We just want to commit the rest of this day, our fellowship. Thank you for loving us the way you do in the Lord Jesus. Amen.